The Book of Power. Quote, "The only limits of power are the bonds of belief." Quote by H. Wilson. Here's the summary. What is this elusive thing called power? It is sought after and fought for even unto the death, yet it cannot be held in your hand. Or can it? In this book, I explore what power is, what it means, how to get it, and how to keep it as servant to you. The game of power is simply the game of life. All people seek power, whether or not they admit it and whether or not they know it. Power is the ability to get what you want and the ability to get things done. Although not the same as wealth, power is often closely tied to wealth, for wealth can be a means to power. The rich, therefore, are frequently skillful players of the game of life. The object of the game is simple. It is to gain power and to use it wisely. The rules of the game, however, are complicated and obscure. Most people get lost in the rules or lose sight of the object. They get so tangled up in how to gain power that they forget why they want it and start seeking it for its own sake. They forget there is a second part to the object of the game, to use power wisely. This is where pleasure, joy, and happiness enter. To use power wisely is to know that you know. To use power wisely is the final test of leadership. Thus, the first rule in the game of power or life, and in fact, the only hard and fast rule in the entire game, is power must be the servant. It must not be the master. You are the master. You are in control. Power is only and can only be a tool for your use, a tool for the use of mankind. There are three kinds of power I will address in this book: personal power, interpersonal power, and impersonal or spiritual power. In the end result, of course, these three types of powers are really the same. All power is ultimately spiritual power, just as all things are in and of the infinite. Infinity is incomprehensible to most. So we must begin by studying the things around us, the flowers and animals, the rocks and streams, the moon and stars, our own body, feelings and thoughts. By understanding the finite around us, we learn to comprehend the infinite. So it must be with power, that power which you perceive as being yours. Personal power is at this point limited power, for you perceive it as belonging to you and finite in scope. Self-confidence, self-esteem, and knowingness wrapped up together will result in personal power. Self-confidence, self-esteem, and knowingness are the ingredients from which personal power is created. If you feel a lack of personal power, then look to these three areas. Self-confidence is the knowledge that I can do whatever needs to be done. It does not mean you have to do all things yourself, but rather that you can see to its accomplishment by whatever means necessary. Self-confidence also implies that you know you can learn anything you need to know, provided you are given sufficient time and opportunity. Self-confidence is built by accomplishments, particularly those hard-to-earn ones. Give a child everything or do everything for him, and you will destroy his self-confidence, for he will not have the chance to learn that he can get it for himself. If I were limited to but one gift to give to my children, it would be the gift of self-confidence, for that gift alone would assure them wealth, peace, and happiness. Self-esteem is the feeling that I am good enough, not better than, but equal. Self-esteem is an intuitive feeling of self-worth, a feeling that I have a place in this universe. I am unique, valuable, and important, and so is everyone else. If you forget the last part of the sentence, the "and so is everyone else," then you are a person who is arrogant. Arrogance is the feeling that I am better than. Some of the most arrogant people I have ever met are those on welfare, because they feel that the world owes them a living. The next time you're around such people, notice how they make you feel not okay. By attacking your self-esteem, they try to strip you of personal power. Arrogant people have power only in the eyes of those who feel less than. They lose power in the eyes of those who have self-esteem. To build self-esteem, affirm each day that you are unique, important, and necessary for this universe to function as it should. Acknowledge each day the contributions you make: a smile, the flowers in your yard, a job well done, a kind word given to another. Though seemingly small, these are the things that make the world beautiful. Part of the poem Desiderata eloquently states this affirmation. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here, and whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. The third ingredient of personal power is knowingness, the knowledge of the true facts of your being. To know that you know yourself and where you are is knowingness. Of the three ingredients, it is the most elusive. So just when you think you have it, you discover you don't. To achieve knowingness, you must seek for the absolute truth of your beingness. Race, nationality, wealth, and social status all become relative facts and temporary conditions. These things can and will change with time. They are not absolute. The absolute truth is that you are. Knowing and understanding this truth is power. Living and being just what you are, no more and no less, is total integrity. Have you ever noticed that people with integrity have a tremendous amount of personal power? They have knowingness. Shakespeare said it this way in Hamlet, through the immortal words of Polonius to his son Laertes. This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. Take these three ingredients, self-confidence, self-esteem, and knowingness, and increase them in your own life, and you will have a greater sense of personal power. You will feel less apart from things and more in the stream of life. You will feel a sense of stability in a varying environment. You will have a sense of being in your place, no matter where you may wander. As I entered the teenage years of my life, I had a very small sense of personal power. In that time when I should have gained confidence and a sense of worth, I felt a lack and an emptiness. I felt the disgrace of poverty and the helplessness of not being able to do anything about it. I felt rage toward a world which I thought threatened me and mine unjustly. This is what I felt inside. To the outside observer, I appeared confident and cocky. I was never the one to back down from a fight. No one could step on me or push me around. Often I was silent and defiant. How dare you intrude on my space? This is where I was. I had only the power others gave me out of their own feelings of weakness. I have changed considerably since that time. Now I am considered to be a powerful person, but more importantly, I know I am powerful and know how to use that power to benefit those around me. Without this knowledge, the struggle for power would be meaningless. I did not achieve a powerful image until long after I had started down the road to gaining personal power. Through Toastmasters, I gained a measure of self-confidence. Through achievements and recognition in business and such groups as Toastmasters, I built up self-esteem. At first, there were a lot of failures and stumbling around in seeming darkness because I didn't know what I was trying to achieve. Until I found my tutor, I did not have any real direction. Then, when I came to know him and see him in the living example of what I sought, I understood the meaning and works of power. By demanding results and accepting the responsibility for the failures and lacks in my own life, I gained knowingness. Today, I look back and find it hard to imagine the boy that I was. I still have mountains to climb, although now I see them as challenges. To live is to seek challenge. I would have it no other way. So far, we have talked about power in the personal sense. It is a special type of attitude, an attitude about yourself. As this attitude, that is, your sense of personal power, changes, so will you. It cannot be helped. Those around you will also note and experience this change. They will change in response to your change, and you have moved into the realm of interpersonal power. Interpersonal power is the power you hold over other people and the power they see you having relative to them. This is where the real power games are played. Those who lose sight of the object of the game, who seek power for power's sake, get entangled in this area. Beware. Have you ever noticed that when you walk into a meeting, even if you do not know a soul there, you can usually pick out the person who has the most power? He or she may not be the person in charge, but they are in control. A person of power has a look. I call it the look of power. What is this look of power? How can you achieve it? The look of power begins with your personal appearance. How do you look right now? The way you want to look? If no, then why not? What are you doing to create the look you want? To have the look of power, your body must be in good physical condition, and that includes the skin. It is not necessary to have a perfect figure if you are a woman, nor is it necessary for a man to have a macho build. Good physical condition means a body which is strong and vibrant within the limits of your physical build. I know a man who must wear braces and use crutches, yet he radiates a sense of physical well-being. If he can, how much easier it will be for you who have perfect bodies to do so. Remember, physical well-being begins first of all in mental well-being. Good thoughts and happy ideas do wonders for a marred complexion and a furrowed brow. Exercise, diet, and good nutrition you must judge for yourself. Regardless of all else, you can carry yourself well even in a wheelchair. Good posture and head erect is all it takes. When you find yourself rounding your shoulders, dropping your head, or looking at the ground, ask yourself, how am I feeling about myself today? Frequently I hear people say, if only my nose weren't so big. If only my teeth were straight. If my ears weren't so large. I think it's great to have a prominent feature. Do not hide it or hate it. Love it. It is uniquely yours. And if you truly cannot, then see about having it changed. Modern plastic surgery does miracles. All of the following celebrities are identified with a prominent feature or handicap, which with a negative attitude could be taken as a liability. Charles de Gaulle, Jimmy Carter, Martha Raye, Barbara Streisand, Lyndon Johnson, Toadie Fields, Telly Savalas, Jimmy Durante, George Wallace, and Sammy Davis Jr. I feel people have more the look of power if they dress simply and with quality. The latest, most up-to-date fashions are often distracting. Beards and mustaches affect me in much the same way. I feel something is hidden. The look of power is more than just physical appearance. It is a certain steady gaze, a quiet body and relaxed hands, which subtly say that you belong right there, right then. It is a solid presence which suggests that you are right for yourself. This look of power is natural for some, but not for most. It can be learned through practice. With a mirror or on the screen of your mind, see yourself confident and relaxed, alert in appearance and yet, at the same time, noticed. Remember, the look of power is a look you control. The members of an office or family group each have different amounts of power. Some are virtually the center of power, while others fade into the background, practically powerless. Where do you fit in? Are you at or near the center of power? Or are you one of those lost in the background? Are you happy where you are? Or do you want to move closer to the center of power? Or away from it? Why? The answers to these questions form the very heart of your interpersonal power relationships. How big you feel in relationship to another person is something I call your psychological size. If you feel smaller than most of the time, then you have very little power in relation to others. In essence, you are giving all your power to them because of a low self-concept or low self-esteem. You perceive others as being smarter, wiser, more intuitive, and more powerful. Now, if you feel larger than frequently, then you are seeing yourself as being psychologically bigger than others. You feel smarter and wiser and more powerful than those around you. You see others as being weak and indecisive. Others describe you as arrogant. Next, we have the equal feeling, that of being the same. Now, we can use the concept of psychological size and the visual representation of it through different size circles. So to understand our power position in our work or family setting, I will use the family as an illustration. Begin by drawing a circle to represent yourself. Then draw circles to represent each person that is considered a part of your family or work group, whether or not they are physically related. Draw the circles so that everyone gets a circle roughly equivalent to his or her relative power. Next, draw the lines of power of varying thickness to indicate dependency, obligation, and closeness. A double arrow would indicate mutual exchange of friendship or confidence, while a single arrow points to a dependency control situation. Diagram out your own family relationships according to power, using a piece of paper which you can save. Several months from now, after you have had time to build your own sense of power, repeat this exercise and compare the results to your original diagram. You will be amazed to see the differences and shifts of power which have occurred. The power chart is valid only for the time frame in which it is completed. The point in a power chart is to understand the control of an organization. The power chart clearly illustrates how decisions are made and implemented. If you feel like an outsider in your work setting, it is because you are outside of the power flow. The power chart can be used to identify key people who can bring you into the power channel or whom you need to include as you build your own power structure. If you are currently employed or own a company, do a power chart now of your own work setting. The key to increasing power with an organization is to expand your responsibilities and duties. Whereas most employees are trying to avoid jobs and added tasks by taking on more work than you can possibly do, you will very soon need the services of an assistant, and your need will be obvious to all. In essence, you have created a new position for yourself, one where you are in charge of seeing that certain tasks and jobs are accomplished. Continue to do this over a period of time, and you'll find yourself the head of a section. In contrast is the person who tries to climb up to the top. In order to move to a higher position by climbing, it is necessary that there be a vacancy up top, and that can be a very, very long wait. In expanding, there are two rules to keep in mind. The first is to delegate without giving up responsibility. This means that you accept the responsibility for accomplishments without actually doing the legwork yourself. Needless to say, this is a high-risk position. You must trust your subordinates to follow through on your directions. Good communication skills, frequent progress reports, and careful selection of subordinates are the ingredients of success. The second rule is to replace yourself with someone who can do your job better than you can. If you are going to move upward and onward, someone is going to have to take over your job. Now, if you replace yourself with someone who does poor or mediocre work, you will find that you are constantly being called upon to redo or closely supervise the work. In the extreme, you may find yourself back in your old job. On the other hand, if the new person can do your old job better than you ever did it, there is no way that you can slide back down. You will be securely entrenched in your new position and ready to continue your expansion upward. The previous mentioned expansion technique is also effective in increasing power in family relationships. In the typical courting couple, the man usually makes the majority of the decisions. He asks her out, suggests a show or a place to eat. When this same couple is about to wed, there begins to be a shift in the arrangement. The bride and her family are responsible for most of the decisions concerning the wedding. So without consciously knowing it or wanting it, she has moved into a power position. This often will continue after the wedding when she takes on the responsibilities of cooking, shopping, maintaining the home, maintaining wardrobes, and initiating social contacts. In short, she has expanded her responsibilities after marriage to include many of the responsibilities he held before marriage. Thus, she has moved into a powerful position, and he may feel a sense of powerlessness outside his work. Naturally, this does not happen overnight. Usually, several years are required for these subtle shifts. After years of marriage, this couple will probably find that the woman is wearing the pants in the family and making the major decisions. Compare this example to the previous office example. You will quickly see how to reverse the trend and create a more equal balance of power between the husband and wife. The husband needs to expand his responsibilities into other areas of the family life. Keep in mind that he does not have to do everything himself, but he does need to accept the responsibility to see that things are done and to make the decisions where alternatives are involved. For example, a husband might suggest menus or accompany his wife to select an outfit for her, or attend the children's school functions, or take the responsibility for the yard and cars. Will the wife resent this intrusion into her domain? I truly doubt it. On the contrary, most wives will probably welcome the interest and assistance in these areas. After all, most marriages are not entered into as a power game. The power imbalance which occurs after several years is an unplanned result of living together and dividing responsibilities. Of course, if the imbalance is of long standing, it may be difficult or impossible to reverse. In either family or work, time is power. The person or persons who occupy most of your time have extensive power over you. By denying others your time, you exercise power over them. Arriving late, delaying meetings, and being pressed for time are all power moves. Your awareness of these strategies will enable you to counter them and turn them to your advantage. Recently, I was scheduled to attend a meeting which began at 8 a.m. Since I was flying in, I had the organizer of the meeting arrange for someone to pick me up at the airport and take me to the meeting. Well, due to miscommunications, I was picked up an hour late and hence had to walk into the meeting well after it had begun. Understanding the power play involved, I was able to quickly turn it into my advantage by simply stopping the meeting and requesting a complete recap of all that had been discussed. Thus, instead of losing power through the incident, I gained it. No discussion of interpersonal power would be complete without a mention of the use of sexual signs and maneuvers to gain power. Office flirtations are frequently carried out with just such an end in mind. Fortunately, both sides generally realize the intent and that it need not be followed up. Men generally use their sex appeal as a weapon of attack. When in a difficult situation involving women, they use flirtation as a means of reestablishing the status quo and asserting their dominance. Women, on the other hand, use their sexual appeal as a means of defense. When under attack or pressure, it is a convenient way out. Breaking the pattern is a successful way of shifting power, especially for women. My wife is an expert in this field. Confronted with a compliment or sexual signal during business negotiations, she will acknowledge the compliment with a nod, then proceed to ask, with seemingly perfect innocence, the most direct and pertinent questions concerning the matter at hand. Needless to say, she is perceived as being an extremely powerful lady by men and women alike. To be aware of power moves and games is a good thing. To be involved in power plays is of questionable value. Gaining power over people is intoxicating. It is better than alcohol and drugs, and is totally compatible with sex. But like any other intoxicant, it dulls the senses. Too much of it, and one's perspective rapidly diminishes. Power becomes the king, the players, the slaves. The first rule of the game is forgotten. And if you have already forgotten the first rule, you will find it earlier on this tape. As Francis Bacon so aptly put it, it is a strange desire to seek power and lose liberty. But this is exactly what those who love power do. The men and women with the greatest power do not play the power games. There is no need for them to do so. They recognize that all true power, including their own sense of personal power, is impersonal in nature. It is in all things. It is limitless. Why squabble for power when there is so much more than enough to go around? Why fight for what is available to all? Why worry about position when one's true position in this universe is understood and secure? When I speak of impersonal power, I speak of power in its essence. I speak of the source of all life. Nature and all that is in nature, you and I included, are but the manifestations of the living power. Yes, I mean you specifically, you who are listening to these tapes. You are a focal point through which power flows into this earth experience. The power you experience as yours in reality is yours only for a moment in time. It is a part of and always connected to the living power, for it is infinite. To be infinite means to include all things. The living power is in you just as surely as you are in it. Whether or not you know it, and whether or not you are willing to admit it, the living power works through you at all times. It can be no other way. You have a choice. You can either flow with this power or struggle against it. You can either go its way or you can try to go another way. The latter is to fight a losing battle. How clearly I learned this lesson as a youth, long before I began to search for myself, I had been taught this fundamental truth. I understood only at the physical level then. Now I know the deeper meaning. It happened on a beach in Southern California. I strayed too far from the swimming area and found myself caught in an undertow. It is a frightening feeling to experience the power of the ocean and know you are in its control. At first, I struggled madly to reach the surface. I fought the current with all my strength, and still it held me in its grip. I felt my lungs would burst. Then I remembered someone telling me in the past that when you are caught in a riptide or an undertow, relax and swim with the current to safety. So I did. Moments later, I broke the surface. The ordeal had passed, or had it? It is still as vivid to me today as it was on that sunny summer day many years ago. Strange, is it not, how small incidents carry such big messages? In less than a minute and a half, I had experienced a universal truth. You can either flow with this power, or you can struggle against it, but there is only one way to reach the top. The impersonal, living power is the source of all power. You can look to it to claim your own personal power through self-confidence, self-esteem, and knowingness. Understanding impersonal power gives you total self-confidence. Since your source of power is infinite, you can do all things. Make this affirmation. Given sufficient time, I can understand all things and do all things. I can understand quantum mechanics, nuclear physics, or the most complicated mathematical formula. Just give me time. I can become the best athlete, the greatest surgeon, or the most skillful artist. Just give me time. And if I choose to do any of these things, or find that I need these skills or knowledge, then I will have the sufficient time. Understanding impersonal power gives complete self-esteem. Since your source of power is the same as everyone else's, how can one person be better or stronger than another? How can I dislike myself or feel less than when we draw from the same source? Does my little finger feel less than the other fingers because it's smaller? Does the skin on my hands feel less than because it's not as soft or as fair as the skin on my face? No. Likewise, you are equal to everyone else on the face of this planet. We spring from the same source. Understanding impersonal power gives knowingness. Since your source of power is the only source of power, and in fact, all that there is, you have discovered the absolute truth of your being. You are a manifestation of impersonal power. You are impersonal power. Power was defined at the beginning of this book as the ability to get what you want and the ability to get things done. Now, you might be wondering exactly how impersonal power fits into this definition. How does impersonal power mean that I get what I want and need? How does it help me get the things done and get where I want to go? That is a fair enough question. Let me start with an illustration. Visualize with me now that your arms are outstretched. You have a piece of string in each hand, and at the end of each string is an iron ball. Feel the weight of those two iron balls. Become aware that they are both the same weight. The two balls are, in fact, absolutely identical. They are exactly the same size, exactly the same color, exactly the same texture, exactly the same everything, except for one thing. The iron ball in your right hand is magnetized. Now, what does it mean to be magnetized? To be magnetized means to display a force which attracts other objects made of ferrous materials, which is iron. What causes magnetism to be displayed is the alignment of molecules. In a magnetized object, the molecules are oriented parallel to each other so that the force called the magnetic dipole movement, caused by the motion of the electrons in orbit around the nucleus of the atoms compromising the molecule, of each molecule is acting in the same direction. As a result of the combined forces of the millions of molecules, the object displays the attraction force we have named magnetism. In the previous description of magnetism, the key word is displays. The object displays a power of force. It does not generate power. It does not create power. It displays power. One ball displays power. The other does not. One ball is internally aligned. The other is not. In all other aspects, they are identical. They are made up of the same types of molecules. They have the same exact potential. All that is necessary for the display of power is the alignment of molecules. Now let's translate this into our lives. Ever since we were small children, we have heard such things as, Johnny is a musical genius. Susan has a low IQ. She's special. Karen is artistic. Joe is clumsy. Mike doesn't have what it takes to make it in life. Sally doesn't have a head for figures. You've heard statements like this, haven't you? Perhaps some of them have been used with your name attached. Now, do you think I mean, really think down deep that these statements are fact? Do you think that God, that infinite power of spirit, is prejudiced? That all the good things are given to some and not to others? I thought we were all equal. I thought we all had the same access to infinite power within. Some people would really like us to believe those statements. They would like us to believe that some people are born bright and others dull. They want us to believe that some are born to an easy, favored life and others to a hard one. That is a lie. I consider it to be one of the biggest lies perpetrated on mankind. The reality is that the molecules are aligned in one individual and not in the other. One individual displays the power or talent, the other does not. One individual attracts what he wants, the other does not. One individual is able to do what he wants, the other is not. One individual internally is aligned, the other is not. There is no other difference. Each has the same makeup, the same energy, the same potential. All that is necessary for the display of power is the alignment of molecules. What is the alignment of molecules with respect to a person? Am I talking about the physical molecules that make up the body? Of course not. Instead, I'm talking about the alignment of thoughts. The alignment of molecules is the comprehension and digestion of the concepts which have been presented throughout these manuscripts, which have been presented throughout history. All the great teachers have said these same concepts. All the great religions give the same message. I don't say anything new. I only say it in a different way. The alignment of the molecules is learning, discovering, and experiencing win-win relationships. It is knowing and experiencing to think as to create. It is knowing and using the screen of the mind. It is understanding and applying the I am concept. It is understanding the meaning of meekness and being strong enough to put others first. It is comprehending the trinity of consciousness and using that understanding to mastermind. It is realizing the universal source of all knowledge and power and looking for it within. The more your thoughts and actions come into line with these universal truths, the more power you will display. The concepts and the concepts alone will free you. The concepts and the concepts alone will give you liberty. The concepts and the concepts alone will give you power. A summit conference in Geneva will not free mankind. A treaty among all nations of the earth will not guarantee peace. A nuclear bomb does not make a powerful nation. No one individual or nation can liberate a people. Only individuals can free themselves. Only you can free you with your thinking, because you will always choose the way you are going to think. Nobody is going to choose for you unless you allow them to do so. And even that is a choice. The concepts give you freedom. The concepts give you liberty. The concepts give you power.
This is the end of this disc. The program continues on the next disc.